Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series. In this special segment on the Feast of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, Dr. St. Cyril provides us with the expression, quote, the hidden coming, the intermediary time of the institutional church, end quote. That time is now, with the gift of living the divine will. And this is a segment on a little bit to get to know who St. Cyril Jerusalem is and what he's given us relating to the divine will. So we have, we're blessed to have with us today, Maureen. And we're going to, I think Maureen, we're going to, again, I never heard of St. Cyril. I'm ashamed to say. I mean, there's a couple St. Cyrils, there's Jerusalem of a couple of different names, titles, but he's got some incredible quotes. We can't do them all, but I'm going to maybe show a few here if we may. Okay, so St. Cyril, again, feast day, March 18th today, and he was born in 315. He died in 386. Here's a couple of his quotes, and this first one is so apropos to our situation, probably for the last 50 or 60 years, as there's been division in our church, and we've got people leaving, people fighting against, you know, the church itself, you know, and doing it in the name of good. But he makes a good statement here, and this is very wise for right now when we've got, again, we're living that diabolical disorientation, and Jesus is really seeing who is with him and who is against him. So this is what he said first, Mark, please.
Make your fold with the sheep, flee from the wolves, depart not from the church. St. Cyril admonished catechumens surrounded by heresy.
Yeah, he taught catechism. How important is this? I mean, I have to think, even doing some reading on Martin Luther, I don't think he anticipated or clearly wanted what happened when he left the church. I think that's when Satan and all the other zealots were able to jump on board and just hijack it, basically. But again, he had some legitimate gripes about what was going on in the church. But again, to change things, to effectuate change, you need to stay in the church. You can't fight it from the outside. And this is beautiful, especially in our time right here. Make your fold with the sheep, flee from the wolves. You know, we have to start, unfortunately, even analyzing our friends. And I'm not saying don't be kind, but again, people that may be drawn to take us off of our journey, of our path, again, unknowingly perhaps, or not intentional, I'm sure, we may have to separate ourselves from that. So we, again, all this will be posted on the website to reread it, because again, we can't just meditate on this in 2 minutes. It's impossible. But again, I think that's really good information for today and probably for the last 50 years. Okay, Marie.
Your accumulated offenses do not surpass the multitude of God's mercies. Your wounds do not surpass the great physician's skill.
Somewhere in the volumes, I don't know where again, but Jesus says, I'll forget your past. I'll forget your past. He gives us the sacrament of reconciliation. He gives us the beautiful feast day of divine mercy. If you think about divine mercy, where if we go to church, we recite the divine mercy, we receive, we go to confession on that week after Easter. I think actually the church gives us 30 days, I think, after that, but don't quote me on that. That all of our sins will be forgiven and the punishment for those sins. You know, sort of like the loan is repaid, but there's still interest due, and that interest due must be paid in purgatory. So God is saying, I'm going to expunge all that. I'm going to get rid of all that for you. And then think about it. If we really do that, all we really have to worry about is everything that we've done bad from that day until the next Divine Mercy Sunday. So we have that year of bad stuff or sin and not the others. But now God is taking it one step further. And he says in the divine will, once you're fully in the divine will, there is no purgatory. He says something like, oh, because you're in me and who's going to judge me? Nobody. So again, not only is it expunged for that time, but it's a quick and immediate entry into heaven is what he's promising us, living fully in the divine will. And that's where our journey is leading us to. So again, I think St. Cyril had some inclination of that as well. See, again, all this now is making more sense because of the divine will, I think. Okay.
The wider our contemplation of creation, the grander is our conception of God.
Well, first thing that came to mind there, Maureen, was the Baltimore Catechism. Why are we here? To know, love, and serve God. Because the more we know him, the more inevitably we're going to love him. And the more we love him, of course, the more we're going to want to serve him out of love. And here you see, the wider our contemplation of creation, of all that God has given us, as a mirror of him, a remembrance of him, an opportunity to give glory and honor to God, on the level of God due to God, and to fill all those voids for all those acts that Adam failed to do. And by not doing it, actually, we may be creating our own voids. Remember, our own voids are our own voids created based on not taking advantage of the opportunity that we had to give glory and honor to God, on the level of God due to God. So, and I'm not saying, you know, look at all the trees while you're driving, please, because that's dangerous. But, you know, you can be driving on the road and just, you know, casually think about God and about, you know, how the hell he built these highways. I mean, God's, you know, give these crafted men to, and women, you know, the opportunity to do this. So everything that we have is a grace. And God is saying, St. Cyril is saying, you know, I think the more that we contemplate on that, the more we're going to love God. And the more we're going to know him, of course. And of course, the more we're going to want to serve him. And the more we want to serve him, we recognize now by serving him, he wants us to give him our free will. He wants our fiat. That's the best way to serve him, to be united with him, to go back to that order, place, and purpose. That's the greatest way to serve him. So we're learning all this, but that's a great quote also. Okay, we can go down to the next one.
In the person of Christ, a man has not become God. God has become man.
Again, a reminder, another heresy that he's reminding us to stay away from. And also the fact that God has lowered himself. I don't want to use belittled, but he's brought himself down to our level 2,000 years ago. Think about that. The first coming of Christ. Again, Cyril was fighting heresies. He was even accused of a heresy. He was thrown out of Jerusalem, I think, for about 15, 16 years. but the interesting thing also is, you know, Maureen, I just realized it, that his bishop was Maximus, who we just read the ebook series.
Oh, wow.
Remember Maximus? Yeah, so he was under Maximus and actually took Maximus's place when Maximus died. So I didn't know that was tied until like an hour ago.
Please, small world.
I'm not that shrewd to do that. Okay, next one is this.
Okay. The dragon sits by the side of the road, watching those who pass. Beware, lest he devour you. We go to the Father of souls, but it is necessary to pass by the dragon.
And what I thought about here is, you know, Jesus, 40 days in the desert. You know, we're in Lent right now. Jesus was tempted. I was just reading a great book too. I found that it's a 1949 high school, I guess, catechism. And I was just reading about, you know, the desert, and it goes into detail about the, you know, the scorpions that are there, and the eerie sounds and all the wall. It's a horrible place to be in the desert. But this is great advice. You know, the dragon sits by the road, especially now. Oh, that dragon is waiting to pounce on somebody turning in the divine will, because he knows this is the final end for him. He's going to try to stop this and stop us as quickly as he can, as best he can. And as we really need to get close to our Lord. And how do we do that? We just learned. We get close to our Lady. We get close to our Lady. It's as if our Lord is hugging our Lady, and we're with our Lady. We're with our Lord. There's no fear. That's beautiful. The dragon sits on the side of the road. Okay, here's another one here.
After all, he saved the thief on the holy hill of Golgotha because of 1 hour's faith. Will he not save you too, since you have believed?
I never thought about that. The thief didn't know. Well, he knew who Jesus was. He probably didn't know much, or if anything, about Jesus preaching. Probably didn't know much about the apostles. He probably didn't know much about the structure. But he knew through a mystical gift that that was God. And through that belief, that faith, it saved him. And St. Cyril's saying here, have not saved you too, since you have believed. Of course, we believe. We wouldn't be here if we didn't believe. I think that's a great one. Okay. Thanks, Mary.
Since Christ himself has said, this is my body, who shall dare to doubt that it is his body?
Yeah, this is a problem today.
That's good.
I think it was like 5 years ago or maybe 10 years ago that they did, the Council of Bishops did a survey, and they said, I think it's something like 70 to 80% of Catholics do not believe in the true presence of Jesus. And even more astonishing was a report that, or a survey that 70% of the priests do not believe in the true presence completely in the Eucharist. That's startling. That's startling. So this is my body. Who shall dare to doubt that? Okay. And we have this one last one on this page. Marie, please.
Okay. And as Christ was in reality crucified and buried and raised, and you are in baptism accounted worthy of being crucified, buried, and raised together with him in a likeness, so is it with the unction also. As he was anointed with an oil, with an ideal oil of gladness, that is, with the Holy Ghost, called oil of gladness, because he is the author of spiritual gladness, so ye were anointed with ointment, having been made partakers and fellows of Christ. But beware of supposing this to be plain ointment, for as the bread of the Eucharist, after the invocation of the Holy Ghost, is mere bread no longer, but the body of Christ, so also this holy ointment is no more simple ointment, nor, so to say, common, after invocation, but it is Christ's gift of grace, and by the advent of the Holy Ghost is made fit to impart his divine nature. Which ointment is symbolically applied to thy forehead and thy other senses? And while thy body is anointed with this visible ointment, thy soul is sanctified by the holy and life-giving Spirit.
The divine will. The soul is sanctified, is the era of sanctification, by the holy and life-giving Spirit. Thank you, Peter. Spirit, the invisible coming. St. Louis de Montfort mentioned that also. He said it's an invisible coming. Christ will come invisibly, interiorly. That's the transmutation. It's a fix us inside outward. Remember, if the body expresses the soul, work on the soul first. Very interesting. These are just some of his quotes. And if I may, Maureen, I'd like to bring up now, this is from Father Nuzzi's book, The Splendor of Creation. I'm not sure if I can increase the size here. I don't know if you can read it. Well, maybe you can just listen to it. Maureen articulate it. Might even be better. I don't think we can get through all this, Maureen, but why don't we just do this? Actually, maybe we can. If I keep my mouth closed a bit, I think we can. We can start with St. Cyril.
Okay. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, Church Father and Doctor, 315 to 386 AD. St. Cyril lived during the reign of Constantius, the son of Constantine the Great, in 340. His formidable and pious education led him to the priesthood. His learning attracted the attention of his bishop, St. Maximus, who entrusted him with the instruction of catechumens. At the death of the Patriarch of Jerusalem, Cyril succeeded him in 350 as the Bishop of Jerusalem and fought for the dogmas of the apostles and early fathers. However, Achaicus the Arian, who held the throne of Caesarea in Palestine, tyrannically banished Cyril from Jerusalem. 11 years later, Cyril was allowed to go back, only to find Jerusalem ravaged by heresy and strife. He attended the council at Constantinople in 381, where the Nicene Creed and Orthodoxy triumphed, and the Arianism was finally condemned. Cyril was rehabilitated at the same council, which cleared him of all previous rumors and commended him for fighting a good fight in various places against the Arians. 16 of his 35 years as bishop he spent in exile. The works of Saint Cyril include a sermon on the pool of Bethsaida, a letter to the emperor Constantius, 3 small fragments, and the famous catechesis. The catechesis contains numerous catechetical lectures, which are among the most precious remains of Christian antiquity. They include an introductory address, 18 instructions delivered in Lent, and 5 in Easter to those preparing for baptism. It is in this work that Saint Cyril alludes to the 3 comings of Christ.
Okay, just want to jump in here just for a quick second. I promise to be brief. This is the crux of what Saint Cyril gave us with respect to the divine will. And then, of course, if we have time, we'll know what his contemporary, Saint Bernard, followed up on. But this is, again, this is a saint. This is a church father, church doctor. Okay, this is not just, you know, some lay person that says, I have an idea. All this has been examined, re-examined, studied, and they found nothing wrong with this. But listen to this. This is incredible.
This is incredible. We do not preach only one coming of Christ, but a second as well, much more glorious than the first. The first coming was marked by patience. The second will bring the crown of a divine kingdom. In general, what relates to our Lord Jesus Christ has 2 aspects. There is a birth from God before the ages, and a birth from a virgin at the fullness of time. There is a hidden coming, like that of rain on fleece, and a coming before all eyes still in the future. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Our Lord Jesus Christ will therefore come from heaven. He will come at the end of the world in glory at the last day, for there will be an end to this world, and the created world will be made new. The Church Father and Doctor Saint Cyril provides us with the expression, the hidden coming, that would be interpreted in the Middle Ages as the period that spans from the first coming of Christ to the end of the world. Cyril's hidden coming would later be interpreted only as the intermediary time of the institutional church and is rediscovered in the writings of the church doctor, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux.
Okay, we'll just stop there for a moment, Maureen. Okay. Again, astonishing what he says here. Now, the beginning of it, we do not preach only one coming of Christ, but a second. He's not even talking about the final coming. He's talking about 2 comings before the final. So he's talking about, in essence, 3 comings. Now, I highly recommend that if you're introducing the divine will, I wouldn't start off to someone saying, you know, there's 3 comings of our Lord, and this is the 1.5 in essence right now, because they're probably going to run away from you because it sounds heretical, but it's not. And again, he's talking about this coming, this second coming, again, will bring the crown of a divine kingdom. I mean, he may as well say we'll bring the crown of the divine will. The will is the kingdom. The kingdom is the will. So that was really astonishing. And then he says at the end, Maureen, for there will be an end to this world. Again, the world as we know it today, you know, with evil at the helm, and the created world will be made new. This is astonishing. Can you imagine how this was? No wonder why he got exiled for 16 years. He's talking stuff like this back in 350 or 360. This is really incredible. So now I do, we have a couple of minutes left, if that's okay, Maureen. So now, again, St. Cyril is, let's say 350, 800 years later, his contemporary, so to speak, St. Bernard, who puts a clarification to that, adds a little more texture around it without departing from it, really. And then if you think about it, 800 years or so after St. Bernard comes the gift of living the divine will. So really interesting. So here's the contemporary of St. Cyril, St. Bernard of Clairvaux. And by the way, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, not only is he a saint, number one, number two, he's a church doctor. Number three, his writings are used in the breviary, which the religious use every single day. I think it's number 169, but don't quote me on that. So the religious read his writings every day. He's a doctor of the church, and he's a saint. And this is what he has to say. Actually, what we can do here, Maureen, to save us time. Actually, we can read a little bit of his background. I think we have time to do that. Okay.
St. Bernard, abbot and doctor, was an exponent of what many modern scholars call monastic theology, which aims at a clear, orderly, warm exposition of the truth, such as will serve to dispose the soul to prayer and contemplation. Bernard's theology does not share the fanciful novelties speculative theologies profess, but develops the teachings of the apostles and fathers in fluid and sublime prose. In fact, the church bestowed upon him the title of mellifluous doctor in honor of his warm and extraordinary style. His doctrines are not distinguished by the discovery of new modes of thought or the achievement of new conclusions. Bernard's sources were principally the scriptures, then the fathers of the church. Bernard reiterates Cyril's nomenclature concerning the hidden coming of Christ.
Okay, we'll just stop there for a moment, Maureen, please. I didn't know I wasn't muted. I'm sorry if I coughed on somebody. So, okay, so I forgot he said abbot also. So monastic theology. Okay, Father Iannuzzi has a degree in monastic theology. The new bishop of Corato has a degree in monastic theology. Interesting. And also a degree in mysticism, both of them possess. I can't wait till those two get an opportunity to speak, if they do, but that's not happening right now. So this is St. Bernard, and we repeat this often on our broadcast. This is really we're going to end with this.
We know that there are three comings of the Lord. The third lies between the other two. It is invisible, while the other two are visible. In the first coming, he was seen on earth, dwelling among men. He himself testifies that they saw him and hated him. In the final coming, all flesh will see the salvation of our God, and they will look upon him whom they pierced. The intermediate coming is a hidden one. In it, only the elect see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. In his first coming, our Lord came in our flesh and in our weakness. In this middle coming, he is our rest and consolation. In case someone should think that this middle coming is sheer invention, listen to what our Lord himself says. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him.
Okay, so again, I don't recommend you introduce the divine will saying there's three comings of our Lord. People are going to run. I've spoken about this in length with Father Iannuzzi. Again, this is Father's dissertation. Those are the quotes from St. Bernard. I said, point blank, Father, this intermediate coming, this invisible coming, this coming in preparation for the final coming of Christ, is this the gift of the divine will? And he says, yes. So what Cyril spoke of in 350, what St. Bernard spoke of in 1100, is happening in our lifetime. We're in the middle of it right now, basically. We're in the midst of it. Interior coming that only elect will recognize. Let's go back to the Ka. God has drawn some individuals, some souls, closer to him than ever before. I think we may be those souls. That's amazing. It's a preparation for the final coming in advance. It's like having the answers to the test before you take the test. Which unfortunately I was given answers to my test because I played sports. That's not good. I didn't learn anything. This is the opportunity that we have that the saints didn't have. That's why the saints really wish they were alive at this time, because this is the direction of Christ to prepare us for the test, the final judgment, the second coming. And we'll call this coming 1.5 because it lies between the first and the second. These are not my words. These are St. Cyril and St. Bernard's words. This is incredible. This is in Father's Splendor Creation. I highly recommend you buy it if you can. The ebook is even less expensive. And if somebody is in a situation that they can't do either, send an email to maryshill@queenofthedivineworld.org and we will get you the book. I promise. Maureen, any last thoughts?
It takes the sting out of living. You know, people say, oh, it's just so great to be alive now. And if I didn't know the divine will, I don't know if I would agree with that.
I agree.
You know, but because of the divine will, it all makes sense. And in my little brain, like I'm a nobody, I get it. And it's amazing. It's that we are alive during this time. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually convinced that we must be a nobody to get this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things I don't understand. I still don't understand this, you know, to the extent I want to, of course, but little things start to click. Again, yeah. God is, because I want it. God is going to give us predicated on our desire. Let's go back to that ardent desire. That's why it's so important, that flow chart, so to speak. That if he knows we want it, he's going to give it. Ask and you shall receive. He promises us that. And he's doing it every day. In each and every one of us, we're waking up, thanks be to God, physically as well as spiritually. It's a glorious time to be alive. And speaking of Father Newsy, we'll have Father with us live on Sunday. I don't know if I did. I put that on the bottom here. Probably not. Oh, this is the other one. Sorry. Let me go back here quickly. I think I have it here. Okay. Father Newsy will be with us live on Sunday. Adoration and Holy Rosary begins at 1:30. Father will be with us, joining us at 2:15. And for an hour and 15 minutes, he will take our questions. If you'd like to send a question in advance, you can send it to maryshill@queenofthedivineworld.org, or you can ask a question live on the fly, so to speak, for you Canadian hockey fans, as we go through it at 2:15 with Father. So great opportunity to ask our question. And we like to keep it to the divine will if we can for this segment. So thanks be to God for everything. And thanks be to God for all that he's done with Amen. And through each and every one of us. We can never thank him enough.
Thank you, Peter, for all you do. Okay.
No, I don't do anything. I look like I'm busy. I'm like Louisa. I look like I'm doing something. Like I'm the opposite of Louisa. I look like I'm doing something, but I'm really doing nothing. So I'm opposite Louisa. Okay. Bye, everyone. Love everyone.
Bye,
see
everybody.
You on Sunday.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.